Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
From the Land and Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the fifth day of April 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, Harry Cooney from GrowMark will join us to talk about fuel supplies and agricultural energies. A quick tip, he says it's time maybe for producers and others that need to lay in supplies for the fall to think about booking both diesel fuel and propane. Oh, and as we close out our half hour today, we'll discuss the weather forecast too with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's check the numbers in Chicago as they finished up today. Futures in the corn pit were up 2.25 cents in the nearby May contract at $3.56¾. July at $3.60, up 2.25, and September at $3.63¾, up 2 cents for the day. December contract, that's your new crop, $3.71, also 2 higher, and the March contract up 2 at $3.81, all in the corn pit. May soybeans down 8¾ at $9.04¾ on their settlement price. July at $9.12¾, 8¾ lower. August down 8¾, September down 8¾, and November down 9 cents at $9.19½, and January at $9.24¼, finished 8¾ lower in the bean pit. Bean meal futures up 50 cents at $2.68.70. The bean oil for the day at $33.99.70 lower. Soft red winter wheat may contract down 3/4 at $4.74. July at $4.80¾, down 0.5. July hard red at $4.85. A penny and a half lower. Live cattle futures from Chicago, April contract on the $3 limit at $130.20. The nearby June down three as well at $120.67½. April feeders $4.25 lower at $152.42½, and May down $4.50 at $150.20 on the expanded trade. April futures into lean hogs at $67.47. $67.40, down 27½. However, the May contract at $75.10 the lean hogs for 100 pounds, a dime higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Please do visit our website. The address there is willag.org. You'll find all of our daily agricultural programming and oh so much more at willag.org.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
Here's what some of the outside markets look like at this hour. May crude oil at $36.04 a barrel, up 34 cents. Ethanol futures at $1.46¾, unchanged. Gasoline, 0.2 cents higher at $1.37¾. And heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.07¾, that's a penny and a tenth lower. Natural gas for the day up, or rather down 4.6¢ at $1.95¼. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 17,578 is now down 64 points. The U.S. dollar at 94.63 is up 0.106. And gold futures on the day at $1,228.30, up $10.30. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area yet this afternoon. Sunny skies, a high of just 50 degrees on this fifth day of April. Southeast winds at 11 to 13, gusting to 21. Tonight, a slight chance of showers between 11 p.m. and 2 a.m., then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 a.m. Mostly cloudy, a low of 42 this evening. It'll be breezy tonight with a south-southeast wind at 15 to 23, gusting to 29. Chance of rainfall in the area set at 40%, and then tomorrow, chance of showers and thunderstorms throughout the day. Highs near 59 degrees. Breezy with a south wind at 17 to 22, turning to the west in the afternoon. Chance of rainfall tomorrow set at 80%. And on Thursday evening, showers will continue. 70% is the chance of rain in the Urbana-Champaign area. We'll have more on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour. We'll talk with Don Day.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. Since 1916, Farm Credit Illinois has been helping farm families succeed, providing farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing. Farm Credit Illinois joins in celebrating the rich history of Illinois agriculture.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on the 5th day of April. We're now joined by Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, to take a look at what happened in Chicago. Thanks for being with us, Wayne.
Well, thank you, Todd.
Let's see. We should probably start in the soybean pit. We have rallied pretty sharply, something in the quarter and the month over 40 cents for March, that is. And now we're down 8 3/4 off of the top again.
Yeah, sort of a risk aversion day looking at the outside markets and the way things are going. But mainly it was the bean oil down 60 to 70 cents here today. That, of course, took a lot of wind out of the sails in the beans. The meal basically unchanged, up a little bit. But the oil dropping a little bit, the palm oil dropping, and you know, some people taking some profits in the beans here today.
So they're just taking profits. Does this mean that we'll stay in this range on the high side of the marketplace, or higher side of the marketplace, I should say?
You know, I think we're going to stay here. We're watching the planting progress. Of course, the weather is keeping the planters from moving much. I talked to a farmer last night. He was going to plant some, start planting today. Today's the first day along that we can get replant and everything as far as the federal crop insurance here in Illinois and Indiana. So we are going to see a little bit of activity starting. We're not in the fields over here putting some fertilizer on, but not as far as planting or anything that way. So, yeah, pretty cold over here. It's going to get rather chilly tonight.
Yeah, so we'll know more this afternoon. USDA normally on Mondays would release the crop progress report, and the one for this season, the first one, was supposed to come out yesterday, and USDA said, well, we're going to wait. Don't know why, really, but decide, or at least I haven't seen that. But that'll be out this afternoon, and we'll talk more with the statisticians, hopefully tomorrow morning, about what crop progress looks like. However, I would guess that in a good part of Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa, not much has been done to this time.
No, I don't think so. We know some corn planted south of Springfield was planted a couple weeks ago. You know, there was quite a bit of field work done in the Mid-South and the Delta area. A lot of that got washed out down in the Delta area, so I don't know how they're progressing or what they're going to call it. You know, what the stuff that has to be replanted, will they count that as planted in this report or not?
Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about the soybeans. Producers probably are a reluctant seller still of both old and new crop soybeans. Should they be?
Well, you know, a couple of the advisory firms today put out orders to sell beans. They wanted to get out of the beans that they bought to protect some of the calls they'd sold earlier, and they were saying that to go ahead and market a few beans in here. So there are some of the technical charts are saying that, you know, basically take advantage of this little rally to move at least a percentage of your beans that way. So, you know, and it does look like we're definitely going to get more into a sideways trading range until we see how this planting goes.
Yeah, after last week's USDA prospective plantings report, are you surprised that the corn has managed to hold on to the levels it has since the 15-cent drop on the day of the report?
It is a little bit confusing in some respect. You know, here's the beans backing up hard on a day after they had a very positive report in comparison, and corn being higher. But basically, I think what was taken away the day of the report and back sort of took us down. We held solid, and I think until we see a little more progress, I don't know, you know, the percentage of weathermen calling for a very warm summer is very high. I mean, in the past, we have, you know, three or four people that always called for drought or a problem like that. But I think we're up at the 80-85% level of the weather people out there. They're calling for some possible very, very warm weather, and the change from El Nino to La Nina and how harsh it's going to be has a lot of people putting weather premium back in this market.
Is that your way of telling me that despite the fact that we have a 93.6 million acre prospective plantings for corn, which is 106% of last year, we didn't drop nearly as much, and maybe they just suddenly built in a bit of risk on that one day?
Well, I think that we basically are looking at that. I think that we're seeing, you know, if we would drop down closer to that 160 mark, it doesn't build the stocks near as much as what it looks like as we leave it up at that 168.
All right. And then turn your attention to the livestock for me just a second. Cattle, both feeder cattle and live cattle, had a rough day in Chicago.
Yeah, they did. I think that a couple things. We're seeing a lot of heavier weight cattle coming to market and just some profit taking. The cattle had seen some fairly decent moves here lately, and I think that today was just one of those profit taking days and risk off days, risk aversion by the funds.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Tuesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Don't forget to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming from the opening market report to the closing market report and a lot of the things in between. We've been changing some of what's happening on the air. Just to give you an idea, if you happen to go to the website, you'll see some of this, and if you listen on air to our home radio station, you certainly will have noticed it. We do the 8:50 a.m. for the open and then come back again at 10:58 with a quick update. We've got five brand new voices there for you to listen to each day, and they'll update you on commodity markets and a little bit in that two-minute segment about what's happening and driving the market. Of course, the closing market report in the afternoon and the mid-afternoon markets, too. That comes up at 12:58. And then at 4:32 in the afternoon, I show back up with a quick update of the marketplace and one quick little poll from the closing market report and our analyst to give you an idea of what things closed out at like. So that's some of the changes that have been happening here at Illinois Public Media. Visit our website to find those changes and to take a listen to some of our program. The address again, willag.org. In today's agricultural news, the Senate is back in session. That after being on break for 2 weeks, the Senate, before it went on break, failed to limit debate on a voluntary GMO labeling bill. However, it may tackle that again as long as it can get farm state Democrats and states' rights Republicans to vote for the bill. Talks on how to move forward could begin this week. Time is an issue as there are fewer than 90 days before Vermont's mandatory GMO labeling law takes effect. Elsewhere in the Senate, it's been over a month since the Agriculture Committee passed a bill to reauthorize child nutrition programs. However, the bill has yet to see floor time in the Senate chamber. Well, let's stay in Washington, D.C., but we'll move to one of the agencies. If an EPA proposal to approve dicamba for use on genetically engineered soybeans and cotton is approved, growers would have a new tool at their disposal. However, EPA has opened up the comment period only until the end of this month of April, and it says it will not make a decision until late summer or early fall. That should effectively limit the ability of dicamba soybeans to be used in conjunction with dicamba this year. The herbicide is not legally labeled to be used on dicamba soybeans for the 2016 growing season. And finally today, some new numbers show the yearly trend of double-digit growth in the U.S. organic sector is continuing. USDA reports the number of certified organic operations in the United States increased near 12% last year to 21,000. Miles McAvoy of the USDA Agricultural Marketing Service, that's the AMS, helps run the National Organic Program. He says consumer demand and USDA assistance programs for current and would-be organic producers is driving the increase.
There's now organic crop insurance, for instance, to be able to support growers that are growing organic crops. There's conservation programs specifically for organic farmers. There's a certification cost share program that helps to provide reimbursement for the cost of certification.
USDA recently launched the Organic Integrity Database, which tracks certified organic operations. McAvoy says the database helps track certified organic producers and provides more data on the organic industry.
The other thing, it enables you to search for, if you're looking for a particular product, so it lets marketers search for honey or for milk products and see all the producers to be able to potentially contact them and market their products.
He adds USDA is looking at additional enhancements to the database this year as well.
We'll have certifier profiles up there relatively soon to give you more information about the certifiers that are doing the certification work. And then by the end of the year, a federalized certificates, so that the organic certificates will be available through the database.
You may find a link to the Organic Integrity Database at ams.usda.gov. That's ams.usda.gov. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Tuesday afternoon, the 5th day of April. Harry Cooney is here now to talk about what's been happening in the agricultural energy segment. Thanks for being with me, Harry. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that are taking place this month. Am I right that there's an OPEC meeting coming up?
Well, good afternoon, Todd. That's exactly right. We have a talked about OPEC meeting coming up. I think it's April 17th, and the trade is some traders are getting pretty excited about this because they feel there's the potential for OPEC members to agree to an output freeze. Now a couple things with this freeze. First thing is that they're talking about freezing output at a very high level. Well, I mean, what type of freeze is that then? Then it's locked in at a high level. So I don't know if that'll do much to help the market go up at all. Some of the bulls were thinking that you freeze output might help the market go up, but if you freeze it at a high level, maybe not. The other thing, though, is that will this meeting have any agreement to it? Can the Saudis get the Iranians and others to agree to the output freeze and such? So my guess is they'll have the meeting. It'll come. It'll go. Markets will still just trade on news stories that are out there. But my guess is there won't be anything big come out of this meeting on the 17th.
And the market has rallied, at least crude oil, from some pretty low lows, somewhere in that $26 lead option, but trading much higher at this point. However, it's set back for the last couple of weeks.
Well, that's right. I mean, you're exactly right. We hit $26 or $27 there twice. In fact, it hit in mid-January. That was at a time when bearish activity, real negative news, a lot of negative thoughts in the markets really engulfed the energy markets and the equity markets. That's when the stock market put in some bottoms in there too. And you're right, then we've rallied up there in mid-March to, we're above 40 in lead month crude. We got up to about 42. Now we're back down to around the $35 level. This is kind of a chart support level in here. So some of the near-term traders are trying to see if this $35 level holds. If it doesn't, we'll have to notch it down to 30. If it does hold, then we'll probably try another run to up to 40 or so.
Then finally, what should producers do? We have, or we're getting into a break period. We had much lower levels at one point. I suppose everything for the spring's probably pretty done. A lot of work being done, but are there opportunities in the fall?
Well, that's right. You hit it, though. For spring, it's pretty much over. We're just getting through that. People are already in the field. But start looking at opportunities to contract some fuel for fall. Remember, we're at multi-year lows, even though, like you and I just mentioned, we're above those actual lows that were posted back in January and February. So look for the opportunities in diesel fuel if you don't have anything contracted for fall. But also, don't forget propane. Propane's also at multi-year lows. You know, USDA this week said we're going to have a little larger corn crop than maybe than what we were thinking, or at least we're going to have larger planted acreage, at least potential for a larger corn crop. So we might need some more propane for that. So talk to your local FS member cooperative about the programs they offer for the coming fall period.
Hey, thanks so much, Harry.
Hey, thank you, Todd.
Harry Cooney, of course, is with GrowMark, joins us from his office space there in Bloomington. Well, you know, the recent discovery of a small brown bat dying on a trail in western Washington state has set off a whole set of alarms among experts across the nation. The alarm centers on white nose syndrome and its possible effects on agriculture and forestry. The fungus causing white nose syndrome first showed up 10 years ago in New York, and it spread to Nebraska, killing nearly 7 million bats. It's now reached the West Coast, and that's raised some fears of even greater losses. The discovery of the dying little bat by a hiker near the slopes of the Cascade Mountains raises the specter of losing millions more of the past-eating little brown bats. Losses may also occur in bigger brown bat species, as well as the gray long-eared and Indiana bats. Ryan Yates is with the American Farm Bureau Federation.
We're very concerned about how the spread of this disease will ultimately affect a number of bat species that provide these important pest control services for American agriculture.
Yates says the little brown bats, for example, have a voracious appetite for beetles and other insects.
Some of these bats are only 3 or 4 inches in length from wingtip to wingtip, can eat 4 to 8 grams of insects each night, and which doesn't sound like a lot, but that's quite a bit of insects for one single animal. And when you multiply that across a broad spectrum, that's certainly a lot of pest control services.
Experts agree that contaminant is possible, but there is one hope that the fungus won't spread as far in the west, where bats don't nest in caves and mine shafts as they do out east. White nose syndrome has pushed brown bats in New York and Pennsylvania to near extinction. The disease has now taken hold in 28 states, including parts of Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, and Iowa. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. The last Hogs and Pigs report is good news for pork producers. It showed fewer hogs are being raised in the United States, and that in turn should boost prices. Pork producers say they'll reduce the size of their breeding herds, or at least that's what the latest Hogs and Pigs report showed. Purdue Extension agricultural economist Chris Hurt says farrowings should begin to slow this spring and summer. However, right now the breeding herd is as big as it was at the same time last year. Still, it's a pattern of change and reduction, says Hurt.
The herd had been moving through an expansion phase, which began in the last half of 2014 through 2015. Now, that expansion was largely because of record-high profits due to baby pig losses from PED. That expansion phase has seemingly now ended.
This ending is a bit uneven geographically. For the 16 states USDA surveys for the March report, the breeding herd is up 9% in Oklahoma and 10% in Texas. Some of the primary Midwestern states reported a decrease in their breeding herds over the past year. Iowa down 5%, Missouri down 4%, and Minnesota down 2%. In Indiana, where corn yields were reduced by summer flooding, the breeding herd was down 7%. Those are all the current breeding herd numbers. It's the forward-looking projections that provide hope for higher pork prices.
Looking out to the first quarter of 2017, with our current information, pork supplies would be about 1% smaller.
Chris Hurt's price forecast for market hogs then is in a range of $49 to $54 for all of 2016. That's about a dollar higher than last year. He expects prices to rise to the $55 to $58 range for the averages in the second and third quarters, normally the grill-out seasonal highs, and then to finish the year in the mid to higher $40 level. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
It's National Raisin and Spice Bar Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1764, the Sugar Act passed in Britain, placing new restrictions on the import of molasses to America. In 1806, Isaac Quintard patented the apple cider mill. In 1858, W. Attlee Burpee was born. Burpee founded the world's largest mail-order seed company in 1876 when he was just 18 years old. He was staked by his mother, who gave him $1,000 to get started in his business. In 1881, Edwin Houston co-patented a centrifugal separator, which could be used in separating milk. By the way, the patent not only mentioned separating milk and cream, but clearing muddy water for paper making. In 1923, the Firestone Tire and Rubber Company of Akron, Ohio, began the first regular production of balloon tires for commercial use. Firestone's low-pressure balloon tires revolutionized work on the farm, giving tractors a more comfortable ride while lowering fuel consumption as well as lowering the danger of high-pressure tire blowouts. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for WILL comes from the Friends of WILL and from Busey. Whether you're looking to buy, build, or refinance, Busey will guide you through the home buying process. Busey, your dream, our promise.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media this Tuesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Don Day is here now to discuss the weather forecast. Let's start in the southwest, Oklahoma, the Panhandle, parts of Kansas. They've had a rough start, relatively speaking, to the growing season, although it was out of the gate really early. It's just been dry. Will we cure that, or has that been cured in any way?
Well, not a lot. We did see a system come through this weekend that did a little bit of precipitation across that part of the country. There is a pattern emerging this weekend and next week that's going to start taking the storm track a little bit further south. And it does look like some of those southern plains areas, especially Oklahoma, portions of northern Texas, and maybe Kansas, could get into the act with some much-needed precipitation. Now, the area that I'm probably most concerned about that is on the edge of the action would be Kansas and maybe the Panhandle areas. That area, a little bit on the edge of where we're expecting the activity. But overall, there's more precipitation for that part of the country in the forecast than there's been for a while.
It's been cold in my part of the world. Farmers would like those temperatures to stay up because they'll be running the planters, probably already are, and would like to see the corn pop out of the ground.
Yeah, that's not going to happen anytime soon, at least here for another week. The trend in temperatures from the Mississippi east will be below normal. And we're talking from the Great Lakes all the way to the Gulf Coast. Is that half of the nation going to be under a really strong northwest wind flow aloft? There's still plenty of snow cover over many areas of Canada. So the source region from the air, plenty cold. Now, once we get to the second half of the month after tax day, it does look like southwest winds will start to return as we'll see the West Coast get back into some needed precipitation. And when we see a trough in the West, we tend to see warmer weather in the Midwest, but it's about a week or so away.
And finally, can you give me your assessment of the beginning of the growing season for the Delta region along the Mississippi River Valley, south from deep southern Illinois all the way to New Orleans? And I suppose we're mostly concerned about that Arkansas, Memphis, Tennessee area.
Well, yeah, that area certainly has seen some rough weather with the really, really heavy rains that we saw in the past few weeks. Right now, at least as we look ahead in the next week or two, it does look like while there's precipitation coming to those areas, it's not going to be excessive as the heavier precipitation will stay just north and west of those areas.
Thank you so much for taking the time with me today.
Thank you.
That, of course, is Don Day with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, here on the Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. can always find our agricultural programming online on demand anytime you'd like. It's at WILLAG.org. The Closing Market Report, Commodity Week, Opening Market Report, all posted there not long after they air on our radio stations. And much more, all again at WILLAG.org.